Hello from the members of Royce City Methodist Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you're blessed by this message today. You're invited to join us for worship anytime. You can learn more about our worship options, locations, and how to get plugged into the life of our church by visiting our website, roycitymethodist.life. Today, we hear from our senior pastor, Reverend Chris Everson. May God bless you as you listen to his word proclaimed.
God does work every Sunday, but I feel like there's something special happening today. And the reason I say that is just how touched we've been during worship today. You know, whether it's through song, through stories, even through hymns. There is a tenderness that comes along with our faith. Sometimes we don't want to deal with that tenderness because we want to put this strong exterior barrier around us so that it looks like everything is just fine, but the matter of fact is we have to realize that we're all broken. One way or another, we are broken. And that just fits in perfectly with the message today. So as we prepare to hear God's word, would you please join me in the prayer of consecration that you'll find printed on the screen. Let's pray together. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we come to you as your people. We come wanting to hear your word proclaimed during this time together. Through song, through prayers, through this message, through even the interaction that we have with each other, God, let your word be proclaimed. And we pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, one of the things that I like about doing this series about the words that you have come up with for your word for this past year, it lets us see how important Scripture is to us as we take this journey of faith with each other. Allowing the words of Scripture to mold us, to move us, to strengthen us, to gird us together. And whether today's particular passage from Hebrews 11, what is your particular passage that you put down, I pray that when we look at this word, we say, you know what, that's my word too. That is my word too, that God uses this word to strengthen me for what's next. Strengthen me for what lies ahead, what has come from behind, and what strengthens us together as a community. So our scripture for today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, 1, which are these simple but yet extraordinary words. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one thing that I know about the word faith can very easily become a throwaway word. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Chris? Well, what I mean by that, when things aren't going right, when things aren't how we want them necessarily to be, we throw out the faith word, thinking everything is going to be totally fine. But when we say that, what happens in our mind, and again, this is probably me more thinking this, and hopefully you feel you've felt this way too. when I talk about having faith that is something that needs to be done or something that needs to be taken care of, that just means that Pastor Chris has to work just a little bit harder to make it happen. And now I'll attribute it to God, but the fact of the matter is, whenever I say that I have faith that something is going to happen, well, then I need to put on my big boy pants and I need to make it happen, and then I'll give praise to God later if it does happen. But here's one of the things that I know about that. When I do live my life in that way, most of the time it doesn't happen. And I just get frustrated. And I pray for more and more faith, which I'm saying I pray for more and more ways that I can think of solutions to make things happen instead of finally releasing it over to God and say, God, you have control over my life, over what's going on. I need you now more than I have ever needed you before. Faith gets tricky when we tie our own worth, our own actions with that. And the thing that I love, if we continue to go on through Hebrews chapter 11, we see faith in action. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us the roll call of the faithful, you know, the heroes of the faith. But as we are building up, we see the faith of Enoch, the faith of Moses, the faith of Abraham, all of these building up saying, you know what? It wasn't them. It was God. And my friends, if you hear only one thing out of what I say today, I hope it is this. When it comes to our daily life, our daily walking with God and having faith in Him, it isn't us. It is God in us. God working in ways that lets us see that the faith that we have, the two big key words that we see in this passage, faith is confidence. It's not confidence in me, but it's confidence in God. And the way that we can fully see this confidence in God is first and foremost that we have to understand what our identity is. There's a great passage that talks about our identity. And before I put it on the screen, because I have two different versions of translations of this passage, it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And this passage has had a lot of debate about it because of what this passage really means, because of one small little preposition in the Greek that gets translated in different ways. So that word is in, E-N. And when we take a look at the way that this word is translated, there are two different ways that different Bible scholars look at this preposition. The first one is that in actually means in. So I-N. So E-N means I-N, like something inside of someone. And the other one is a translation of in as of. So with that little preamble, maybe I've confused you a little bit more, let's take a look at this passage. This first one comes from the NIV version, but the ESV has it, and also the CSB has the translation of this little word in as in. Let's see if you can find it in this passage. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That preposition was right there. I live by faith in the Son of God. When the Bible scholars who put this together said that they used the word in to make the word in, they were saying they wanted to make it relational. They wanted to make it relatable. They wanted to make it to where you know that you can have faith in God and that God will see you through difficult things. But here's the problem that I have with that. Where does the power come when we start thinking about how I have to have faith in God? It's what I do. It's how I behave. It is about all of those type of things. And I'm not saying that that's not important. That is important. But when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our identity in God, I prefer the way that the King James Version says it, the Jubilee Bible 2000, which is a translation that I just became familiar with. It says it this way: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Do you see how that reads a little differently? What do you notice about the difference between having faith in the Son of God and having the faith of the Son of God? The difference, my friends, is understanding that God has that faith in us, that Jesus has that faith in us, that we live fully in him, and he sees us through. He gives us faith, and that faith helps us to have confidence that God will work things out in, through, and for us. To me, it's a beautiful reminder that even when we are weak, he is strong. Even when we don't have our lives fully put together, that we wander, that we struggle, God's faith in us, the faith of the Son of God, strengthens us to make each step of the way. So knowing that we have our identity in Christ, knowing that God is with us and that God walks with us and God is for us, we then have to turn to another way to understand how God works in our lives. And that is understanding that we have reliance in the Word of God. You know, I know I've said this a few times during sermons, and I mentioned it here or there. I am absolutely thrilled that I get to walk through the book of Isaiah, which is a very difficult book to walk through, on Thursdays with a group of you. And as we struggle and as we walk through that, I feel my faith strengthened. Hearing your testimony about what that word means to you, and hopefully you hearing my testimony about what that word means to me, as we allow that word to strengthen us, to gird us, it makes us to say, you know what? My faith is strengthened because I rely in God's word. Not just the hearing of God's word, but as James says in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There are many different ways to really understand and hold and dig into Scripture. And I think the more ways that we do that, the more we grow in our faith. I think it is perfectly good, as I said last week, to take Scripture and just read it. Don't worry about what each word or dot and tittle means in Scripture, but just read it for what God's Word is. But it's also important to be with other people, to understand, to gather the nuances in Scripture, to say, this is how I am going to continue to grow, and I'm going to let other people help me grow in my faith as we dive and dig inside of Scripture. But my friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, it can't stop there. I see so many people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, and they'll get their Scripture out, and they'll quote chapter and verse about what is in here and how you're supposed to live your life, and then I look at their life, and it's nowhere near the life that God has called them to live. And they say, well, you know, the Bible's very important to me. Well, if the Bible is very important to you, show me. Let me see your actions as a Bible-believing, faith-driven Christian, and let me see your actions match what it is that you are professing. See, this word is reliable to us. Reliable for us. It helps us grow. It helps us see how our faith strengthens us. Our faith guides us. Our faith leads us so that we may access grace. So we may have a full access of what God's grace is for us and for others. When I look at Matthew chapter 25, it's a parable of the sheep and the goats. And I go back to this one pretty often. The king gathers people together, and he gathers some on his left and some on his right. And those on his left, he says, shame on you, the Pastor Chris Everson version. Shame on you, because I've noticed that you have failed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and those are in prison. And those on the left, remember, they say, when did we see this happen? And the king says, whenever you didn't do these to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And to those on the right, he said, you know, I saw you go out and you feed the hungry, you clothe the naked, you visited those who are sick and in prison. And they were also surprised, when did we do this? Every single time you did this to the least of these, to the downtrodden, to the lonely, to those who have need, you did it for me. There's another way that we can talk about that, and that is called the means of grace. Having these means of grace, building us up to be in service to God for others. Allowing that work to strengthen us as we feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, visit the sick and in prison. And as a communal idea, building a part of a justice system that says, you know what, God's word is prime in my life, so I'm going to make sure that everything that I do justice-wise lines up with his word. So that when people see me, and I hope when people see Roy City Methodist Church, they see God in their midst. But see, those are ways that we do that ourselves. But there's also a very important way that we hold together through the means of grace. And we see an example of that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Jesus has ascended, and the Holy Spirit is coming down upon the disciples as they're gathered there, and as they continue in their meeting, we see these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. See, this is another important aspect of works of piety and communal ways that we share in the faith of Jesus Christ. We do that as we share in the sacraments of baptism, as we lift each other up in prayer. I tell you, one of the greatest joys I have, as we started this a few weeks ago, is at noon we say the Lord's Prayer. And going back to my Thursday class that meets at 11 o'clock, we know that at the time for the class to end, whenever my alarm goes off and other alarms in the room go off reminding us to pray the Lord's Prayer together, and we close with the Lord's Prayer and we dismiss ourselves away. Last week when we had our Vacation Bible School celebration, those that were still around at noon, I heard alarms going off and we stopped and we said the Lord's Prayer together. That is a communal aspect of this work that reminds us that God is working in our midst. Do we take time to see it? Do we take time to see the love and the grace that God has for us and for others? That's why this table is important. As we come to celebrate communion, this means of grace that gathers the body of Christ together to let us remember that Christ gave his all for us. And we celebrate that through the bread and through the cup. So then, as we hold our hands out to receive the bread, and as we dip the bread into the cup, reminding us of the covenant that God has given us through the blood of Jesus Christ, we then too can step out with confidence in faith. Not our faith, not our confidence, but the faith and confidence that God has in us to be a sign of his love and grace for others. My prayer that as you come forward to receive communion today, that you hold out your hands and say, God, I am thankful of the faith that you have in me. Allow that faith to take root and take hold so that I can be a witness for you here and everywhere. So that others may come to know you as their Savior and their God. And allow that faith to activate in them to do this beautiful chain reaction so that this whole world may know Christ in us. Let us pray. God, as we come to this table, we know that we live by the faith of the Son of God, which translates into a faith that isn't dead, but it is active and alive and moving even in this space. Through the songs that we sing, through the tears that are shed, through the stories that remind us of how you have acted in our lives through the actions of others. As we hold out our hands this morning, to receive the bread and receive the cup, remind us once again that we are yours and you are ours. And allow this communion to extend the covenant that we have in our lives with you to be an active participant in the love and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, we lift this prayer up to you. In the name of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, in the great power of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.